Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
suit on,
looking like the trap dog,
giving a microphone,
dress
like a million bucks,
buying
things in its cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Listening to the voice of Come On Dig Me Now, one and only Steve Harvey, got a radio show.
Today, I want to just share something with you along your way to wherever it is you're trying to get to. You know, everybody has a different definition for success. And I'm not here to tell you what yours should be. I mean, please pursue whatever you think success is. Aim as high as you can, though. That's for sure. My father used to say all the time, I'm sure you all have heard it in different variations, but he used to always say, aim for the moon. Just in case you miss, you'll still be amongst the stars. Just say that to me all the time. So that always was in me, to aim high. Now, he wasn't saying aim with the intent to miss. He was just saying aim. In case you miss, you'll still be amongst the stars. If you aim for the moon. But if you just aim for that first floor window and you miss it, you know, usually run into some type of wall and nothing happens. You slither down. But a lot of times I think along the way, folks, you know, we just don't understand what all it takes. And so we give up along the way. But there's a couple of things I want you to prepare yourself for. You know, in my book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, I told people that men love three ways. They profess, they provide, they protect. And that's the core essence of a man's love. Well, there's some other P's in life too. And the number one thing you have to understand about trying to be successful, and I guess I call this the four P's. I may come up with five along the way. I don't know. I'm just talking as it's given to me. So I'm gonna start by saying that these are the four P's of success that you have to get ready for. Number one is pressure. Pure pressure. Being successful is just pressure. A lot of it is applied by the circumstance of what you're trying to go for and what you're trying to do. But a lot of it also is self-imposed pressure. It's what you put on yourself to make it. It's a sense of urgency. It's a sense of necessity. But pressure is the first thing I want you to be ready for. And pressure comes in a lot of different forms, but it's going to be pressure. There's an old saying that pressure busts a pipe. See, that's why most people turn around, because of the pressure of trying to be successful. I want you to get it in your mind that it is going to be a pressurized situation on your rise to the top. Pressure-wise, it's going to be pressure. It's going to be difficult to do. It's going to be moments when it seems like it's real heavy. It's going to be moments, man, when it feels like you're going to burst. Us all comes from pressure. Pressure busts a pipe. Pressure. But understand that that is what it is. It's not going to change. That's it. Prepare yourself. Get ready for there to be pressure. The second thing I want you to understand is when you receive this pressure, you have to persist. You got to stay at it. You got to develop a doggedness. There's a song out that says, "Why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat? Nothing but the dog in me." That's a funny line in that song, because really I was thinking about it one day. I was humming it, and it occurred to me, said, "Why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat? Nothing but the dog in me." And, you know, now you could take it in the literal sense that cat chases the dog, because it's innately, it's in his spirit that cats and dogs are a lot of times enemies. Now, people have pets and have proven that if you show love on both sides, they can exist. And that happens too. But naturally, innately, when your cat goes by a dog and your dog don't recognize him, there's some barking going on. I'm talking about just walking through the neighborhood or something. So, but the reason that this dog is so persistent towards this cat is just because it's in him. It's innately in him. And what I'm saying to you, just using that as an analogy, is that you got to be persistent in that you got to develop some dog in you now, because pressure takes some fighting back. See, if you don't fight back against pressure, pressure busts a pipe. So what you think it'll do to you? Pressure crack walls. Pressure cause explosions. So if you don't fight back to hold it in, you understand? Pressure does most people in. The simple thing called pressure. The weight of what it feels like to want to be successful every single day, over and over and over and over and over. It's just too much pressure. People crack. You got to persist. You have to persist. The thought of giving up can come, but you got to get it out. You got to persist. The next thing I want you to think about is another something that I've been thinking about for years and learned for years. It's called perseverance. See, to persist means to insist. The key word in persist is insist. You must insist that this is going to happen. Now, the persist, I'm assuming, means it's a proaction. It's some type of proaction that you go towards it to make it, you know, persist. You got to be persistent. You got to be constantly at it. Insisting that it happens, you got to be constantly at it. But the next thing I want you to remember is perseverance. Perseverance is important. Perseverance means that when you've done your best, when you've persisted, when you're fighting back against the pressure, perseverance simply means I'm going to hang in here now. I'm going to hang in here. If a crack come in the pipe, I'm going to hang in there. If the pipe bust, I'm going to keep going. If I got to put duct tape, silly glue, Bondo, mud, whatever I got to put on this thing, man, I'm going to use perseverance. I'm going to stay with it no matter what. So we looking at the three things again. You got to understand that it's going to be pressure, that you're going to have to persist. Keyword in persist is insist. You have to insist that no matter what the pressure is, I'm going to stay with it. But then perseverance, if it goes wrong, man, you got to get in there and keep fighting. You got to use the dog in you. Everybody got to develop some dog in them, or else you can't win in this thing called life. So you got the pressure. You got to be persistent. And then you got to persevere. I'm going to give you one more that's key to this whole thing. Prayer. Prayer is the key to this whole thing. I am telling you, I am giving you the best shot I got at making it. You have got to understand that it is going to be pressure. You have got to understand that you absolutely have to persist. You have to insist that this has to happen for you. And then when it starts going wrong, you got to develop some doggedness in you. You got to persevere. But then, Lord have mercy, nothing helps you handle the three P's better than the fourth P. You got to pray. You got to use prayer. You got to talk to God. You got to use faith. You got to have some conferences with him late at night, early in the morning, in the middle of the afternoon, when you're on the train, when you're driving. You got to talk to God, man. You got to get yourself some help along the way. Nothing is bigger than prayer. There is nothing bigger than prayer. Prayer will help you overcome the pressure. Prayer will help you stay persistent. And Lord have mercy, prayer will help you persevere. Them is the four P's. That just came to me today. God gave that to me. I'm passing it on.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
18 minutes after that. Welcome to the ride, y'all. Steve Harvey Morning Show. What's going on, everybody?
More on.
Top,
hey.
top.
Everybody good.
Yeah.
Everybody,
how are you?
Everybody happy.
How are
Ain't
you?
Ain't nobody sad. Everybody glad.
Very appreciative, very grateful.
Yeah.
Very much so. You feeling good on this Thursday?
I wanted to tell y'all something this morning, but I thought about it at the house, but I forgot.
You just got here. You forgot?
That's a sign that you have so much going on your brain. You have so much going on.
Your notes for the show, you just keep them in your head and then you forget them.
Yeah.
But Tommy, we just got to work.
Because what I do is I just think of something else.
Okay. I feel you on that.
All right, then.
So it's been a busy week. Yeah. Kind of. Mm-hmm. Thursday already.
It's been interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy headlines. The president. Ugh. What is going on? Oh,
man.
He is something else, man.
What'd he do?
What he don't do?
Well, you know, the whole big thing about there's no evidence whatsoever, you know, from the FBI, everyone, James Comey, the director, that there was any evidence of President Obama wiretapping Trump Tower during the election last year. Okay.
But see, can I say this, ma'am?
Hmm.
I don't think that CNN, MSNBC, and Headline News understand what's being done here. It's a distraction.
Oh, yeah.
It's a distraction, and everybody bit it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, no, I don't think that they don't think it's a distraction. I think that their job, though, is to report the news, period.
But surely,
distraction or not.
There is no news.
That is news.
But what's the distraction for? To do what else?
It's no news, because listen to me. What they tried to do was detract from all the allegations of Russian involvement and hacking up the election. So they introduced this Obama tapped his phones. That got introduced at such a timely way. Now everybody then took the FBI probe and everybody ran over there. They slicker than puppy doo-doo on the kitchen floor. And we sit up here and we go for it. And right now, guess what we're not discussing on either side of the aisle? We're not talking about anything to help anybody.
Well, they think they are. You know, the Republicans do with the working on the health care bill. They think they are.
They feel like they're doing work.
They're 21 votes short. Because what you don't understand is the ultra conservatives don't want any part of Obamacare because they wanted to go back the way it was. And even the moderate conservatives know that Obamacare has some good points in it because they can't go back to their constituents and say, hey, all y'all with pre-existing medical conditions, you in trouble. All y'all that's waiting on Medicare, we gonna strip that. Because what they want to do, the ultra-conservative Republicans, is strip what they guy said on TV last night, strip all the welfare from the Health Care Act. That means giving anybody anything. That is dangerous. And that's why they can't get it passed. Because the moderate Republicans who voted on repealing and replacing Obamacare also know that they can't do it.
And got put Donald in office Trump, because of it, you know, saying that they would.
Right. Remember when President Obama met with Donald Trump? And do you remember when they had that long conversation? And he asked Donald Trump not to strip Obamacare because there were some good things there. And he came out and said he would look at it. Well, that's what they did. Because you can't strip Obamacare completely. You can call it a disaster if you want to, but the truth of the matter is it has some excellent components in it. And they know they can't strip it from all of that. And that's why they're calling this new bill that they have that they can't pass Obamacare Lite.
Yeah, the American health care bill. And they say Trump doesn't want his name on it because in case it doesn't pass, he doesn't want, then it'll be a failure. If it doesn't pass, then Trump care didn't pass, you know. So anyway, it's interesting to watch.
It's a mess.
Every day.
It is.
Every day. It's interesting.
The governing process is a mess.
As people, is not allowing any of the issues to be discussed by either side. The Democrats, who so much supposed to be for us, ain't talking about nothing for us. And the Republicans ain't talking about nothing for us. All they talking about is Trump, 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 Trump. Ain't nobody talking about the people. Because the stuff they voting on now, folks, we don't even get to vote on. You don't get to vote on the travel ban. You know why? Because that's foreign policy. And Americans don't have a vote or a say-so in foreign policy.
Why?
You can't vote on foreign policy. They didn't ask y'all about this travel ban. They just enacted it. And then they came up with another one and put that out. You can't say nothing. You don't vote on that. I'm telling you, man. They pimping us so cold right now. And because there are all these distractions
all the time.
That we're sitting here and nothing is happening.
Well, this is his big thing, you know, because his credibility is in question now. So we'll see how it goes. They're scheduled to vote today, right? They're scheduled to vote on it today. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. We'll be watching. When we come back from the break at 34 after the hour, we're going to tell our early risers about the Sand and Soul Festival in the Bahamas. It's coming up October 6th through the 9th. And Steve, please share some more of your layaway stories with us.
Layaway coming up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up next, we're going to make sure that our early risers out there get all the details about the incredible Sand and Soul Festival.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You can budget for this. It's October 6th through the 9th. Come and join us at the Atlanta Paradise Isle in the Bahamas. If you haven't been there, it's really, really top flight.
Beautiful.
But it's affordable, too, because I have a package where you can pay something on it.
Layaway.
You don't have it paid, then just go. You ain't even gonna feel that hit. Boy, we're gonna go out there and have a good time. You know why it's gonna be a good time? Because we ain't gonna teach you nothing.
We ain't gonna learn how to jump, Unc?
Don't even bring the book.
He said, "Don't bring the book.
Don't even bring the book.
Don't read it.
Don't read it on the beach. Right?
You can read on the beach, but don't ask me nothing about it.
Don't ask me to sign nothing.
You see me walking down the beach, it'll be with a hat on and a cigar. You understand? That one's over down the village, you know what I mean?
So go to sandandsoulfestival.com for more information. Now, after this song, Steve's going to tell us one of your layaway stories.
Come on.
Layaway story.
One time, I laid away a sweater. The sweater was burgundy, had a shawl collar on it, a big wide shawl collar. And it came down, it was burgundy. The sweater was $115. Got it from Man Talk. I laid it away the same time that Levert and them was in there shopping. Gerald, Mark, and his brother Sean. They was all in there shopping. Just buying stuff.
What is Man Talk? A store?
Man Talk is a store that was at Randall Mall called Man Talk. They had another one at Richmond Mall. But they had the fly stuff, man. But that stuff was high as... And so they in there shopping. I knew them. We was just cool with each other. I was in the business about to get into it. They was already in it. So they was speaking everything. Man, Harv, you cool, bro, man. Hey, come see us sometime. Yeah, okay, I will, though. So they shopping. They just up there buying stuff. I'm just trying to lay this damn sweater away. So I'm standing in line behind Gerald and them, and they just are paying for stuff. $3,000. I'm sitting there going, $3,000? What the hell they singing? I'm in the back, man, got this $100. And this is a true story. So I laid the sweater away. I put $25 on it. Man Talk didn't have that, you know, 10% like Albert's did. I had to argue with them, so I had to go and give them $25 down. Let me tell y'all something.
What?
I went back to get the sweater. Have you ever had something in layaway so long when they go get it and show it to you, you don't recognize it?
You don't even know where.
That's how long that damn sweater was in layaway. It was in layaway so long, not only did not recognize it, it was out of style.
And it was over $100.
Man, $115. I had made like 6 payments on it, man. I finally had that last $30. I went in there and put something on it, man. I got that sweater out, man. I put that sweater on, I ain't even want it.
He said it didn't look like it no more.
I didn't remember it. The big shawl collars was out of style. They was wearing them dog ear collars then. I said, oh, damn. Messed around and had this thing in here too damn long. Boy, they went and got that sweater. My head turned sideways like a little puppy.
Didn't recognize it.
I said, what is that? This your layaway. I laid away that.
Wow, Steve.
He said, here's a description on your layaway tag. Burgundy shawl collar sweater. Oh, man. The dude said, try it on. He put it on. He said, yeah, they don't wear that no more, but that's nice.
But it's nice, though.
Yeah, I had to go on and wear it, man.
Yeah.
I was skinny back then. I tried to put it on under a suit. My suit was full.
Man. Get ready for Run That Prank Back with the Nephew. We'll be back at 48 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, hey, coming up, y'all, at the top of the hour. Y'all there?
Yes, sir.
We're here, right here.
Miss Ann will be here with today's national news. And then we're going to have some developments with the White House. Ain't no telling what the hell up there doing. You know who I would hire, though? Sean Spicer.
I love him.
You would?
Man, I love him.
Hell yeah. You talking about somebody know how to hold the line. Dog, I'm talking about hold the line. Mr. President, we're going to go out here and we're going to lie. Yeah, gotcha.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
I'm with you. Even when you're wrong, I'm with you.
No, man. I mean, that's loyalty at a level I have yet to see come out of anybody. I would hire Sean Spicer.
Man, credibility, huh? He has none.
Yeah, they're talking about how he's losing credibility. But anyway, all right.
He be handling that press.
He could get a job.
He's doing
with you.
His
that's
job. No, he's doing his job. He is holding the line, regardless of how high sound. This is what they told me to say, and here it is.
I love that dude. The entire time.
All right, we got an update from the White House. Plus, there's some news out. I don't really, what does this say, Shirley? Because I don't like doing stuff like that.
Well, no, this is okay. You could say this. Plus, Taraji P. Henson says the cookie character, Cookie Lion, it's draining her.
I bet it is.
She's too much.
Yeah, because she's all in, though. You know, that's a testament.
Hell, it's
to
like
her
Eugene got
ability.
To be draining Tommy.
Ain't going the way around.
She has got to be.
Exhausting.
Tommy, I'll kill you. Cookie and Tommy going through the same thing.
But up next, right after this jam. Come on, Steve. Then what?
Prank call is up next. We're going to run that prank back. We got a house party at Glenda's.
House party at Glenda's.
Hello. Hello. Hey, man, y'all need me to bring some ice over there?
Yeah, man, we can use some ice over here. Who is this?
Hey, this is Lawrence, man. I was trying to see if y'all need some ice. What kind of beer should I bring, man? Y'all want some beer?
Man, everybody over here pretty much do Budweiser, man. Now, who'd you say this was again?
This is Lawrence. This is Lawrence, man. I ran into your wife at the supermarket, and she was telling me y'all was, you know, getting together, and she told me to, you know, come on through if I had some time, so I ain't want to just come through there without nothing. You know what I'm saying? I want to, you know, come through empty-handed looking disrespectful, man.
Yeah, I feel it, man. We pretty much over here just kicking and watching the game, man. You can, you know, some beer, some ice, that'll be good, bro.
Okay, cool, man. Well, listen, I mean, people y'all gonna have. I want to make sure I bring enough stuff.
Yeah, but who'd you? I couldn't, man. Who'd you say this was again, though?
My name is Lawrence, man. My name is Lawrence. I went to school with Glenda.
Oh, okay. You went to school with Glenda. Okay, Lawrence. Huh?
Yeah. We went to school together. So you know, I ain't seen her like, man. I swear it's been like 15, 20 years. You know what I mean? Ironically, you know, I just got back to town, you know, 2 weeks ago, and to, you know, run into a classmate. I was like, wow. But you know, she invited me out, man. I ain't been nowhere since I got here. So, you know, it's cool just to get out a little bit. So, you know, you say Budweiser and I bring some ice, man. So, yeah, we good. So I'm just going to bring a couple cases. That's cool?
Yeah, man, that's cool. But you say, Glenda, what y'all went to high school or college? Where'd you meet her at?
No. Me and Glenda went to high school together, dog.
Oh, y'all went to high school together?
Yeah, that's back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. What'd you say? You said your name, Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence. Yeah, we went to high school together, man. That was, you know, man, Glenda still look good, dog. How long y'all been married?
Yeah, we've been married for about 16 years, man.
Wow. Okay, yeah, man, you did good, man. I hate I messed it up, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's neither here nor there, man. But it's just ironic that I ran into her, man, so I just appreciated the invite. I saw Glenda, man, your girl looking good, man. I ain't seen her in a long time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yo, man. Let's back up a minute, man. What you mean you hate you messed that up? What you mean by that?
Well, Okay. My bad, dog. I'm thinking you familiar with my name. No. See, Glenda was my high school sweetheart. You know, we dated from ninth grade to the 12th grade, man. We went to prom together.
All right, man. I see. You know what, man? I don't know what Glenda. What she meant by telling you you could come through the crib, bro, but you can't come through my house, dog. I mean, I didn't have mine back in the day, and she might have had hers, bro, but you can't come over my house, dude.
Okay, hold up, man. Now, Glenda done invited me, and I'm coming. I don't know what the hostility is, but man, but I'm coming to the house.
You ain't coming to my house, dog.
Hey, dog, listen to me, man. I'm not finna sit here and go back and forth with you. I done ran into Glenda in the store. Glenda said she, you know, it was good to see me, you know, come through tonight. I say, cool, you know, and she gave me the number on asking you what else I should get, you know. So I'm calling you saying, hey, man, you want some ice and some beer? I'm gonna roll through, man. It's just a party, dog. You insecure? What's up?
No, I ain't no insecure. Listen to me, dog. I'm gonna go and get Glenda. All right, and this, because this right here don't make sense to me, dog. What you mean Glenda invited you to the house? And I'm telling you right now, you ain't coming to my house, bro. If you come to my house, you're gonna get your up.
Hold on. So what you threatening me now, dog? That's what you're doing?
You, who is you, dog?
I'm her first. That's who I am.
For dog. I would never do that
first. I'm her first. I'm the one she really remember.
What you mean you the one she really remember?
I'm her first, dog.
See, man, I like I said, you bring your punk over to my house, and it's going to be about 20 waiting on you. All right, all my boys over here, we kicking it. All right, you bring your over here, you won't leave. I promise you that.
I tell you what, man, I'll be over there because Glenda the one invited me, and I'm showing up. And if you start tripping with me, guess what, dog? It's on and popping. One thing I ain't forgot is my first love. And my first love then invited me to the house.
Man, I can't even deal with this right here, bro. I'm going to tell you. No, you obviously, you don't spoke to Glenda. You know where the I live, all right? You show your up. I want you to come on over and you show up. Like I said, you show up and your ain't going home. I promise you that, bro.
It's whatever then, man. It's whatever.
Bro. Hey, bro, look, man. Me and my boys over here, we just waiting on it. We just waiting on it. All you got to do is make the move, bro. All you got to do is make the move.
I tell you what, man. Let me call Glenda. See, I need to call Glenda. Because see, Glenda.
Yo, let me get Glenda. Who the are you, dog? Who the are you?
I'm going to tell you one more time. I am Glenda's first.
I don't give a
And it sounds like I might be her last, her everything.
This must be out his mind, CeeLo. Listen, I got this on the phone, bro. Yo, dog.
Hey, let me ask you this here, man. You don't even know where Glenda's spot at, do you? Do you?
What the f***?
I know where her spot at.
What the f***? Who the f*** are you, dog? What the f*** think this is, bro?
Hey, man,
you bring your over here. I want you to show up at my You call me with this stupid bro. You talking about my girl's spot. You come, but I want to see you at the crib right now, bro. Get your in your whip right now. You drive down to my and I'm going to you up, bro.
You ain't finna do nothing to me.
What?
I said you ain't going to do nothing to me.
Do nothing to you, huh? I ain't going to do nothing to you. I promise you bring your over here, bro. I'm telling you, you're not going home, dog. You're not going home.
Whatever. I got one more thing I want to say to you. Is you
man,
listening?
Talking my girl? What the
I got one more thing I want to say to you, though. Is you listening to me?
I'm not listening to you.
Hey, man, is you listening? Is you listening? Because evidently you ain't. Are you listening to me?
You want to say?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your wife, Glenda.
Damn. You see, bro. Y'all playing, man. Y'all playing, dog. I'm gonna kill y'all, man. I'm so glad this is a joke, bro. I'm telling you, because...
I gotta ask you one more thing, dog. What is the baddest, I'm talking about the baddest, radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby.
Appreciate y'all letting me run that prank back. I appreciate that. This weekend, I will be in Dothan, Alabama. Saturday night, the nephew was coming to town. And then right after that, where we going, Junior Boy?
I'm talking about Columbia, South Carolina. Is they ready? Township Auditorium, Southern Fried Comedy. Did I just tell you the train stopping in down there?
April the 1st. That's April Fool's Day, ain't it?
Ain't we fools?
We fools.
Then that's what we need to be there.
Southern Fried Fools Township Auditorium. That's April 1st. This Saturday, that's March 25th. It's me, Dothan, Alabama. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Okay, so here we go. Steve, you were questioning this story. Empire returned last night, okay? Everybody was anxiously awaiting the return of Empire. Well, it came on last night. And Taraji is saying that the character Cookie drains her. She says, Cookie drains me. Taraji gives Cookie Lion life, of course. She does on Empire. But apparently the character doesn't do the same for her. With the show entering its fourth season now, Taraji was very honest about Cookie's future. Taraji said, Cookie wears me out. She drains me. She is emotionally all over the place. Those writers, they just keep pushing my emotions with every episode. By the 18th episode, I'm I'm dead. I have to get far away. I don't wear animal print. I cut my hair into a bob. Remember at the at the Golden Globe, she had one side of her hair shaved. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And at the Oscars, she says, I don't wear weave because I've got to get as far away from Cookie as possible. When Taraji was asked when she would be ready to leave Empire, she quickly responded, once it's syndicated. She said, thank you, good night. Taraji added, Taraji added what she learned from the ladies of Sex and the City. You have to know when it's time to go and get out on a high. That's right. Yeah. She said, Cookie drained her.
And after last night episode, did you see?
Oh, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Yeah. Girl.
I'm just so happy it's back.
Yeah. Woo! Steve, you need to stop.
Child. Lord have mercy.
Right, right.
No, I don't know what to say.
Because you haven't seen anything.
I'm just trying to be in the conversation.
You want to participate.
Jesus, Cookie now.
Come on, man.
And Leonard, I don't know what he doing.
Lucius. Who?
He's saying Leonard. Leonard.
Wow.
Who is Leonard?
Who? What's his name?
Lucius.
Lucius Lyon.
He said Leonard.
Terrence Howard is Lucius.
Oh, he's so crafty.
I swear
with
to God, I
so
thought
crafty.
It was Leonard.
All right.
Leonard.
Come on and introduce Miss Ann.
I want to go on Empire and play Lucius' brother.
I can see that.
Crayford.
What's
the Crayford Lyon.
Crayford.
Crayford?
Yeah.
Crayford? Oh, with a C. Yeah. Crayford.
Yeah, because when we was growing up, they used to call us LC. Lucius and Crayford.
Oh, man. No sense whatsoever.
Please,
ladies and gentlemen,
Ann.
She's here, the lovely, yes, the talented Miss Ann Cherip.
Thank you, Rayford. Okay, good morning, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. I can't wait. I'd love to see Steve on that. I guess what today is a really, really sad day in Great Britain. Three people are dead, including a police officer and the assailant, as a result of a vehicle and knife attack near the British Parliament yesterday. Police in London say the driver first mowed down pedestrians on the Westminster Bridge before crashing into a railing. He got out, approached the Parliament building, where he stabbed a police officer there to death before being shot and killed by others. 29 people have been injured, hospitalized. Prime Minister Theresa May intends to get to the bottom of it.
I have chaired a meeting of the government's emergency committee, COBRA, following the sick and depraved terrorist attack on the streets of our capital. The full details of exactly what happened are still emerging.
But authorities say they've now arrested eight people. They've labeled it a terrorist attack, as you just heard the Prime Minister say. Meanwhile, in this country, a white U.S. Army veteran from Baltimore, bent on making a racist attack, took a bus to New York City and randomly picked out a black man who was doing nothing but collecting bottles on the street, and killed him with a sword, a 21-inch sword. The murderer, James Harris Jackson, turned himself into a Times Square police station early Wednesday, about 25 hours after Timothy Kaufman staggered into a police precinct bleeding to death. He later died. The white man said, I'm the person you're looking for. Police say the reason that he says he picked New York was because it's the media capital of the world, and he wanted to make a statement. Today's the day the Republicans vote on their Obamacare repeal bill. The president spent a lot of time trying to line up votes for it, since the Democrats are not expected to okay it, and several Republicans say they don't like it either. Former Vice President Joe Biden's issued this warning about the bill.
We're talking about eliminating close to $1 trillion in benefits that go to people to be able to meet the commitment we made that health care is a right, and we're transferring all of that to the wealthy. That's what this is all about.
Now, failure to pass this measure would be seen as a major defeat for President Trump. By the way, today also happens to be the 7th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. The head of the House Intelligence Committee now says information about President Trump and his staffers may have been picked up by U.S. intelligence agencies who were conducting legally sanctioned surveillance of a criminal Russian enterprise three floors below the Trump penthouse in the Trump building and ordered by the courts years before Trump even ran for president. The committee chair, Republican Devin Nunes, claims that information about some Trump associates was picked up, widely circulated throughout the intelligence community, even though they were not targets of the foreign intelligence gathering and even though the info was of little value intelligence-wise. Democrats smell a rat or a bend-over-backwards effort to save face. They're calling for a completely independent investigation because this is much different than what the president was claiming, that President Obama intentionally ordered surveillance. Today, Cuddly Kitten Day and National Puppy Day. Aw, little poopies. Now back to Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, thank you, Miss Ann. Our question of the week this week, it's a good one. Have you ever texted someone the wrong message or didn't hang up the phone and that person heard something you really didn't want them to hear? Call us and tell us all about it. 877-29-STEVE.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at 18 after the hour, the butterfly is up next with the butterfly blog. Or, as Steve has been asking all week, will it be oatmeal? Dun, dun, dun.
And we're going to find out today if Eugene is as draining on Tommy as Cookie is on Taraji.
Yes.
That's the question of the day.
I'm not the one.
Good morning, Stephen, Shirley Carler Jr. Good morning to all of you all.
Hey, what's up? What's up? I'm up in here too. What's up, Joe? You're my dog.
My man.
Yeah,
hey,
Shirley. Beautiful
Flutter.
Beautiful Carla. What's up?
What's up, oatmeal?
What's up? Stay hard. What's up, dog?
We were doing a story earlier that the character Cookie, Taraji P. Henson, says is draining on her. Have you heard anything about any of y'all draining on Tommy?
I don't stay hard. I don't even fool with Tommy. I let Tommy do what he do or whatever. I stay out of his way. So as for draining somebody, I know I ain't the one. You know what I'm saying? I stay completely to the back of the brain, do what I do, and you know, where everybody else do their thing. I don't get in nobody's way. No, that's how it go. But just truth be told, though, on the real, there is somebody that's a conflict. That's all I'm saying. I ain't starting to.
Keep it 100, O'Meal. Come on.
But there is somebody that's a conflict.
What are you saying? What are you saying? Are you trying to say I'm a conflict to him?
First of all, I was talking to Steve Hart. Ain't saying nothing to you. I'm talking to him. Already, so hey, I'm just saying there is somebody there's a conflict.
I love the way he says conflict.
Pause. And if you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one that holler is the one you hit. That look like that's you, Eugene.
That's not me, Stephen. I am truly, truly trying to be the person that drives us to being better and perfection. So I don't understand any reason why I would be the one that's a... Tommy, answer the question. Am I a conflict to you?
You create problems sometimes, man. You always... You talk about
that's
me.
That's it. Conflict.
You talk about oatmeal.
That's not what a conflict is. It's just... We're just going back and forth. We're just badgering at each other. That doesn't mean I'm...
No, dog. You throw rocks at me. You throw rocks at oatmeal.
Right there. Throwing the rock. I'm going to tell you this here. Now we talking about throw a rock in a pack of dogs. Dog, I'm finna throw a rock dead at you. You ain't any no dogs. You ain't any whatever. But I swear, let me say this here. Keep my name out your mouth.
Wow.
That's what LeBron told that boy dad. I'm telling you the same thing.
He told me.
Why is it you always act like you want to fight somebody? Why is it? Why you always...
No, I don't know. Your tone.
You run up
your
on me too much. You say too much.
It's your tone, Butterfly.
What is wrong with my tone, Shirley?
It is
right there.
It is kind of conflicting.
Everyone is so against me. What?
No. That's not it. We want to help
you're always
you
negative, dog. Just quit being. Yeah. You're supposed to be the butterfly. You're supposed to be fun and happily
and nice.
And
be nice.
All in.
I
flutter,
am
flutter,
fun.
Flutter, flutter.
I am fun, and you ain't no damn fun. You kill our lily. You fun. What is fun about you? You. Tell me that. What is fun about you? You want everybody to buy flowers and plant flowers. Nobody want to do but buy butterfly trees and out the top. Don't nobody want to wear no damn butterfly out the top. Dog. Who want to wear that? You ain't seen nobody wearing it but you. A butterfly out the top. Who want it? Has anybody on the show if they want a butterfly out the top?
I don't want one.
Well, I would wear that. No, I would wear that. No,
Junior, you're my friend. Aren't you my Junior, aren't you? Junior.
Boy, I ain't know you, but
come on, don't leave me hanging.
I can leave you hanging. What?
It's not that we don't like you, Butterfly. We love you. We like you, yeah.
Not but it just seems like all of you all are ganging up on me.
Why am I the negative person
on the show?
Because you're
not at all.
Yourself.
All I said was watch
your
tone.
Your ass is negative. You like a damn algebra problem. You negative nigga. That's what you is.
And what else is he? A conflict butterfly? Yeah. I mean, Eugene, oatmeal?
A conflict.
Yep.
But with all that being said, when we come back, it'll be 34 minutes out of the hour when we come back. Other than that, I got much love for y'all. I already. What up,
man? My man.
We'll be back.
I can't believe you, Junior.
Hey, man. Friends have stuff in common.
We gotta go.
Nothing in common.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go with the question of the week. Have you ever texted someone the wrong message or didn't hang up the phone and that person heard something you didn't want them to hear? Yeah. Call us and tell us all about it at 877-29-STEVE. All right, our question of the week. Have you ever texted someone the wrong message or didn't hang up the phone and that person heard something you didn't want them to hear? Okay, Steve, there's this lady out of Chicago. Her name is Carol. She couldn't hold on, but we did record her answer to today's question. Take a listen to this.
I have a coworker who talked about our boss like a dog, called her a bee. Just this week, while we were at Hamilton Play at the theater, talked about her being a bee, fat bee, white bee, all that, and then accidentally sent her the text message directly. So now they're trying to fire her. If that ain't crazy.
They're trying to fire her now?
Sent the text to the lady?
Yeah.
Oh, you gone. You gone. You gone. You gone. You gone.
You are out.
You gone. Yeah, you out. It ain't no fixing that.
No.
She called her so many names.
Man.
God, all of them had a B on it.
Yes.
FBWB.
Who are you texting that
Big
to?
B to her.
Oh, man.
To the boss. But why, though?
Oh, man.
Woo, Carol.
That's not good.
Getting
boy,
dusting off her
boy,
resume.
Boy, let me tell you something. She didn't sleep last night at all.
Yeah, it's over.
Your boss
after
made it
Hamilton.
Oh, man.
She been just sitting up all night looking at that phone.
She said, what? God. Oh, I'm what?
Dang. Well, thank you, Carol. Carol had to get that one out. She couldn't stay, but she was like, let me text that to your boss about
your boss.
Right.
Boy, do you know she's staring at that phone all night long with her hand in her head trying to figure out how the hell she can...
But you know what? People have done that. You know, that's like when you're talking about somebody, but then you text that person.
Oh, yes. Yes,
that
yes.
That you're talking about that's on your mind. And that's exactly what she did.
God.
Woo. Have you ever done that, Steve?
Yeah, I did it with Tommy one time.
You did?
What? You did it with Tommy.
I was trying to text Kat.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I called Tommy a stupid blank blank. And then I sent it to the group text. But after I realized Tommy got it, I was really comfortable with
it. That's what I love about you, Uncle. You always comfortable after you do something.
Yeah, after I did that, you know, I called Tommy stupidy blank blank. And then I sent it to him. And I realized, well,
you sent
hell
it to the group.
Yeah, but it's true, though. Why,
everybody.
Why yeah. Why I got to be shamed about the truth?
Oh, man.
And then I asked him, though, do you know this is me you sent this to?
What did he say?
Yeah.
Did you text that back to him?
It took 10 minutes to respond.
Yeah, I know.
So you text that back.
I know what
I went back through there to check it. I said, what the hell? But it was a group text. I didn't know that everybody in the group.
No.
Yeah.
So you didn't know he was on the group?
Well, I didn't know. I was since I was talking about him, I didn't think it would send it to him.
That's why I hate group texting for that very reason.
I never knew that stuff.
Man, you so brilliant.
Y'all.
He's right. So your logic is you was talking to him about him. He ain't going to get it.
Yeah, I text cat, but it said cat, kill.
But you feel so bad when you do that. Oh, you feel horrible.
I did really. Oh.
You did?
Feel that way.
Well, you should.
Please stop.
Oh, man.
I didn't see why I had it, you know.
Well, you should. Why you didn't did you apologize?
Why didn't you get it? No, it has never, ever.
Hey, hold on.
Steve, apologize.
Ever.
Wait, apologize. Do Donald Trump apologize?
No, ever. Never.
I'm going to act presidential.
All right. Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, y'all, coming up at the top of the hour, we got the strawberry letter. But, nephew, what you got?
Yes, sir. My refrigerator.
What about it?
That's it.
Is it broke?
My refrigerator. That's the prank. My refrigerator. You're about to be possessed. Watch it. Are the sounds of MC Ross.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach Mr. B, please.
Who is it?
Mr. B, this is Jackson. I'm the driver, man. I'm actually the delivery guy that's bringing your refrigerator over today.
Okay, what's going on?
Okay, listen, I know we had a window that was from 8 to 12 this morning. It's 11:30 now. So we're running a little bit behind schedule, man. We have some problems at the yard getting everything loaded up.
Man, come on, man. You killing me. I can't. Y'all running behind.
We're a little bit behind schedule, man. We're going to have to. We'll be there somewhere between 12 and 4.
Oh, come on, man. Y'all got to do better than that now. Man, I'm with my job.
I understand, sir. I understand. Actually, it's
I got all my food in here and coolers and stuff, man. I got ice everywhere, man. What's going on? If y'all ain't got the refrigerator, I'm trying to figure out.
No, we loaded up, you know. We just had some problems. I think one of the forklifts went out, and you know, it kind of pushed us back. So that 4-hour window we had from 8 to 12, man, just got ruined, and now we're pushing things from 12 to 4. So between 12 and 4, man, we would definitely be there.
Man, y'all got to do better than that. Cool. I spoke to yesterday.
He's actually the warehouse supervisor. He's actually out today. He's not here.
So he's not in. So yeah, man. God, I'm supposed to be at work at 1 o'clock. You said y'all ain't gonna be here till in between 12 and 4. I'm supposed to be at work at 1 o'clock.
I understand it, man. I greatly apologize, man. It this rarely happens, and it just so happened this morning the forklift was down and we had a lot of stuff to load up. You know, I got 10 refrigerators on this truck, man, and one of them's definitely yours, sir, so I'm definitely going to be getting it to you as soon as I can.
Man, y'all man, y'all pushing it, because I'm supposed to be at work, and then I done scheduled everything else around this, because I'm supposed to, you know, I got to have my refrigerator, because I got all my food and stuff sitting in here in the kitchen and whatnot.
Your refrigerator went out? Did it go? Your refrigerator went out? Is that what happened?
Yeah, sir, it sure did. I mean, I hadn't had it for quite some time, so it's just a matter of time for would go out, so I decided to go ahead and get a new one, you know.
Right.
So that's why
I can schedule you next week sometime if you want me to.
No, No. I mean, I can't afford it. We're going to pay for this food that I got in here all over the floor.
Let me get the hustling, man, see if I can move as quick as I can. But 12 to 4 is the window, man. I like I said, I apologize, Mr. Mm-hmm. But we'll be there, man. We're gonna be there with your refrigerator today, okay?
Okay, so when you on your way, how about I want you to call me and let me know that you're on your way so I know what's going on.
We don't normally call when we're on our way. We just come on in and get things set up.
What do you mean you don't call? Why not? You just called me just now, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You called me then. Make no sense.
Like I said, the problem is on us. Man, I'll give you a call when we en route, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. Now, you said between 12 and 4 now.
Yes, sir. Between 12 and 4, we definitely be there. We got you on the truck, man.
Okay. I don't want no mess, man.
No, we got you. We'll see you in a minute, man.
All right.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Mr.
Who is this?
This is Jackson again, the delivery guy, man, with the refrigerator.
Yes.
Listen, Mr. Baptiste, man, we run into a few more problems here, man. It looks like we probably not going to get that refrigerator out till tomorrow sometime.
You said what?
We run into a few more problems, man. It looks like we probably not going to get that refrigerator out till tomorrow sometime.
You done ran into a few more problems. A few more problems like what?
Sir, we got some problems with some more deliveries we got. Just with all the deliveries we got, it just don't seem we're going to make it on your side of town to be able to get this thing taken
care of. You're not going to make it on my side of town. What kind of is that? You decide you want to take my money when I pay for it, but you gonna tell me you ain't gonna make it on my side of town.
Well, we can definitely get out there tomorrow, man. We definitely can get out there tomorrow.
I can't have my refrigerator out here tomorrow. I got chicken and beef and brisket and all over here in my flow, and you gonna tell me you can't make it in here till tomorrow? What kind of is that, huh? Sir, you ain't got no answer for me on that.
Sir, I understand.
No. I don't think you understand, son. Because I got food and ice sitting in here and coolers and all over my floor in my kitchen. You gonna tell me that you can't make it in here till tomorrow with my refrigerator because you yelling on the back around. Now where's
no.
the yesterday? Now where is
I know you spoke to Larry.
I told him yesterday I had to have my at work at 1 o'clock. I told him that. I said now you gotta have that refrigerator here on time because I gotta have my at work.
Well, like I said, we've had some setbacks.
So where is I don't talk to you no more. Where's
Like I said, sir, not working today.
He's not in today.
So
who in charge?
Well, actually, the lady named one that's actually in charge when Larry leaves, but I don't even know if I saw morning.
Oh,
but
you raggedy, you, what are y'all doing over there? Now, when I spoke, we're going to have it there. It was between and 8 and 12. Now, I done took off my job, but y'all had a refrigerator here. I'm here at home. Now you call me back.
Sir, all I can tell you is we're going to be there tomorrow, okay? I'm not going to go back and forth.
You say you're not going to go back. You know what? That refrigerator. Sorry, y'all. You take that refrigerator. You take that refrigerator up your up and up. I don't want the no more. I can go around and put this food in my neighbor's refrigerator, and I'm going to go get me another from somewhere else because you playing around. I ain't got time for your mess.
Sir, I don't know if that's refundable. You know what I mean?
What the you mean you don't know if it's refundable? You got time. You gonna take my money and you gonna tell me that I can't have my money back and you can't get my refrigerator on here on time.
Sir, listen. There's one more thing I need to tell you.
Thing to say to me because I don't want
sir,
to no more.
Okay, but I have one more thing I need to tell you, okay? Are you listening?
What?
This will probably help everything.
What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your wife.
You know what? I'm going to fix her. So, but where the hell is my refrigerator? That's what I want to know. I tell you what, they showed up their refrigerator. I showed up told them where they can put it.
The Fool is at it again this weekend, Saturday night, Dothan, Alabama. I'm coming to town. And then on April 1st, get ready. Junior Boy.
Columbia, South Carolina, Township Auditorium, Southern Fried Comedy Tour. Man, we still rolling.
April 1st, baby. That's April Fool's Day. You don't want to miss us. Columbia, South Cackalacka, Township Auditorium, Southern Fried Comedy.
Come on
coming
now.
To town.
We fools. Yeah. Here comes some fools.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Guys, buckle up and hold on tight. Strawberry letter 23.
This subject right here, younger man, okay? Mm. Hello, Steve Harvey Morning Show. Boy, do I have a dilemma for you. I meet this man whom I believe is the man of my dreams. I have strong feelings for him. I can't stop thinking about him or wanting to be with him. There has been no sexual involvement as of yet. The dilemma is, I'm married and older than him, and he doesn't know how old I am. He doesn't know I'm married and have children. I have only one child left at home with me. It's about a 16-year difference between our ages. I'm scared to tell him my age because it might run him away. I don't look my age. What I really do want is to get a divorce from my husband. But I don't know what to do about the younger man. I can get the divorce, but how do I tell the younger man everything without losing him? Steve, don't just tell me to tell him straight out, because it doesn't work that way, and you know it. I need instructions and steps. I want to be honest. Help me do this the right way. Are you crazy? I mean, do you really hear how ridiculous this letter sounds?
Come on, Cheryl.
I mean, you got to give us something to work with here. Is your husband abusive? Does he not love you anymore? Does he stay out all night? What is the reason you want to break your marriage vows to this man? What about your commitment to him that you made under God? I mean, you sound very mature to me, this young dream man of yours. You're already starting off lying to him. And really, you could be putting his life in jeopardy, you know, if your husband finds out about him. I just think this letter is crazy, and you really need to get yourself together. If you want to be honest, why don't you start at home with your husband? Why don't you start there, Steve?
Wow. It's so much. You're absolutely correct, Shirley, in what you said, but this letter is so deep,
yeah,
man.
It is. It is.
Boy, do I have a dilemma for you. I met this man who I believe is the man of my dreams. Oh, do you really? You met a man while you're married who you have not told any of the truth about yourself, and it's the man of your dreams? If he knew everything there was to know about you, do you think you would be the woman of his dreams? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this letter, you're saying you got strong feelings. I can't stop thinking about wanting to be with him. There's been no sexual involvement as of yet. The dilemma is, I'm married. This is why I think you're lying. This is where I really think you're lying. You can't stop thinking about him or wanting to be with him. Period. There has been no sexual involvement as of yet. Okay, then I don't understand the prior line. You can't stop thinking about him or wanting to be with him.
Right.
When you say I want to be with him, that means we're grown, sexual. So, okay, let's say you haven't. Let's just trust that you're telling the truth so far. The dilemma is, I'm married and older than he, and he doesn't know how old I am. He doesn't know I'm married and have children. I have only one child left at home. So how many is out there that ain't at home? It's about a 16-year difference between our ages. I'm scared to tell him my age because it might run him away. I don't look my age. What I really want to do is get a divorce. Lady, are you? Wait a minute. Hold on. So let me get this right. You're deceiving this man. Now you want me to tell you how to complete it, because you said, how do I tell a young man everything without losing? And Steve, don't just tell him to tell him straight out, because you know it don't work that way. Yeah, if you was a man, it wouldn't work that way. Mm. See, if you was a man, see, the way we do it is we get you all emotionally involved. Then when you find out all this stuff about we being married and we got kids, then we let you figure it out and deal with it. But we already got you where we want you. That's how men do it. So now you want to do it like men do it? Okay, go ahead and see how much hell you're going to wind up in your life. Because when your husband find out, I can't even tell you the ass whoopers that's going to get passed out around now. Do you understand me? Starting with your little bitty young friend, because big fella that you're married to, when he find out somebody been snapping off his cookie right there, big fella going to be real grimy about his.
All right, stop there,
I'm really,
Steve.
Really mad. No, hold on.
Because,
see, I'm going to tell you the rest of it when I come back.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you really what's happening here. But you really want to do like a man do, but you're going to be a woman. The name of the book is Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. Not be a lady, try to act like a man. That ain't
the
book
I wrote. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well,
you know, what?
Part two. Coming up.
For it.
I'm damn near tired.
These letters draining you on.
This letter right here, this woman, she's got a dilemma. Met this man who she believes is the man of her dream. I have strong feelings for him. I can't stop thinking about him. I want to be with him. There's been no sexual involvement as of yet. Dilemma is I'm married and I'm older than he, and he doesn't know how old I am. He doesn't even know I'm married and I have children. I only have one child left at home with me. It's about a 16-year difference between our ages. I'm scared to tell him my age because it might run him away. I don't look my age, but what I really want to do is get a divorce from my husband, but I don't know what to do about the younger man. I can get the divorce, but how do I tell the younger man everything about losing him? Steve, don't just tell me to tell him straight out because it doesn't work that way and you know it. I need instructions and steps. I want to be honest. Help me do this the right way. Well, like I said, you're asking me. You've lied to this man. Now you're asking me how to do it. And I've told you, how men do it is very simple. We don't tell you that we're married and we have kids. We get you all involved. And then as you uncover the facts, we don't give a damn. We just let you figure it out, how you going to deal with yourself emotionally, how ruptured you feel on the inside, and let you figure out how you going to keep seeing me and deal with the fact that I'm married and I have kids. That's how men do it. Now, that's how you want to be, because that's exactly what you're doing right now. And I don't really know what to tell you except a couple other things. Name of my book is Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. If you want to act like a lady and act like a man at the same time, you're playing a very dangerous game. Because, see, once we figure out that that's the game you're playing, that is the game that we specialize in, bull crap. If you want to bull crap somebody, then start playing that game with a man and see how far you get with it. Because that's what we do. You've heard old street slang, game recognized game. Once we see that that's what we're doing now, oh, that's what we're doing, then game on. And we would be so emotionally unattached to you. Which leads me to the fact that nowhere in this letter do you state how he feels about you.
Right.
It's just all how you feel about him. So now let me ask you something. You're going to give up your marriage on a maybe that seemingly you've created in your mind. He's the man of your dreams. Has he ever told you you were the woman of his dreams? This needs to match up to make sense. You're going to go in there and divorce your husband and leave your family. Are you nuts? Over what? And tell this man how old you are. He might not want to be dating his mama. Hell, you know, let the man figure it out. Ladies, if a man was lying to you like this, if a man was lying to you like this, you know good and hell well how every last one of you would feel. Seeing you, he way old, he ain't telling you age, ain't telling you he married, ain't telling you he got kids. How would you feel when you found out? Let's just reverse that. So now you want me to tell you how to play this boy when I done dedicated my last book on telling women how not to get played. You want me to tell you how to play this boy? You wrote the wrong letter.
All right. Today's Strawberry Letter is posted on steveharvey.com. You can tweet or Instagram me your thoughts at MyGirlShirley. Now, coming up after the break at 34 after the hour, our girl from the talk, she will be in the building, the one and only Cheryl Underwood.
Cheryl!
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up next. Shall I say, coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, from the talk, our girl, Cheryl Underwood.
Underwood. All right, Steve, introduce our girl. She's here.
Avis and gentlemen, Sheriff Underwood.
See, Steve Harvey Morning Show family, Steve Harvey, that's how you feel when you get nominated for Daytime Emmys. Your voice crack and everything. You know, we announced the Daytime Emmys. First, I'm going to do Steve Harvey because this is show and everything. Nominated Family Feud and Steve Harvey Talk Show and everything. Yeah. And then The Talk nominated for 8 Daytime Emmys with Ellen. Tied with Ellen for 8 Daytime Emmys. The Daytime Emmy ceremony is going to be, I think, April 30th. Y'all coming to town? What's happening? What's happening? Y'all coming out? What's happening?
That could be arranged, Cheryl. Yeah,
right on. That's right. Right on, Shirley. That's right. That's right. Right on. Right on. That's right. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Right. You know, on. That's the same weekend as George Lopez's golf tournament. You know, I'm on the George Lopez Foundation board. So I want everybody to check that out. Oh, yeah. I'll give y'all more information. I'll get close. See, we're going to be popping bottles that whole weekend, doing things. Tommy Jr.,
Me, we got to get together, get some of this Dave Chappelle money. What's up, Netflix?
Man, that's why I'm killing the game.
Well, that, man, listen to me now. We want to eat too. I'm happy about it. When you making money like that, trying to get down like that, man, I need it. Wait a minute. It's a sad day. You know, first we lose Chuck Berry, then we lose Chuck Barris.
Yeah, oh, gone yeah, show.
The gone show,
gone
dude.
Show.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, listen, man, Gene, the dance machine could have got it, man. Listen to me. Gene, the dance machine. Could have got it.
Could have got it.
Throwback,
that fat dude could have got it. Matter of fact, I should start in the Gene, the dance machine story. I can do that. I can do.
Oh my!
What?
There
I'm
you
deep
go.
In the character. What, Shirley?
Who
I
want to
get awards too. I can do Gene, that. They be like, "Wow, she was deep in character." I don't know where she started. And Gene. Wait a minute. Speaking of acting, are we happy about Empire? Are we sad about Empire? What is going on?
I struggled. Oh, it debuted last night.
What did you think, different?
First of all, the thirsty dude, is that an Olds 98? What is that, a Ford LTD?
Right,
I freaking love thirsty, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. When he was snacking on old girl on the board in the elevator to get the votes, that was wild a couple of seasons ago. Okay, I'll explain to you later, Carla. I know you saved. You don't know what that means.
So, I remember.
Wait a minute. Lucius and Cookies need to go and get back together. Need to stop tripping. He needs to stop tripping. And then he done let the baby moms come in and be head of A&R and while Thirsty set up, oh boy. I mean, it was interestingly odd. And then they try to make Taye Diggs like a Kennedy driving in a car with old girl. They went to the senior center convalescent old folk home to pick up Bam Bam Mama.
Mama. Bam Bam.
Ignorant.
There. I was like, that's Betty Rubble.
Yes. Wait, Leslie Uggams sitting in the back with one of the coldest wigs I ever seen. That was a Sunday morning special. That was first Sunday wig right there.
It was good.
But, hey, I got to give big ups to shout out Gabourey Sidibe. Girl, you looking good.
Go ahead, Gabby.
She's looking good.
She's going to catch. She always could catch, you know, because she got that beautiful skin. She beloved. She can act and everything.
She's
but
talented,
she really gonna catch now.
Very talented.
Wait a minute. Did they move Black-ish to a new day?
It's still on Wednesday.
That is my show, Cheryl.
Usually what I do is I DVR one and then I watch the other and then I watch the other one after. You know what I'm saying?
We DVR. Yeah.
And then I take that Empire feeling out of me with Black-ish and then I go to sleep.
See? Anthony Anderson has a brilliant hit show on his hands.
Doesn't it? Yeah. And all
I
of them
love
are good.
Black-ish.
All
yeah.
of them are good. All of them
yep.
are good.
Well, Tracy.
Jennifer Lewis as the mama is it.
Ruby.
I don't know what.
Ruby. Ruby is the whole thing.
Black Jesus. Black Jesus.
All right, Cheryl. Thank you. We love you, girl. Hey, listen, we're going to go to the phones. Our question of the week. Have you ever texted someone the wrong message or didn't hang up the phone and that person heard something you didn't want them to hear? Well, call us and tell us all about it. We should have asked Cheryl, Carla. 877-29-STEVE. 877-29-STEVE. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 5 minutes after, Carla's reality update. Carla's going to talk about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Oh, boy. Okay, and our girl. Egypt Sherrod from what, Steve?
What you got to say
what
about
you
love
say?
Atlanta what? Love and Hip Hop?
Uh-huh.
Woo!
He hasn't seen that.
No,
either.
You hadn't seen that.
An episode. No.
But it's convincing, though.
Yeah. But I was mentioning
Man,
our
Sasha?
Girl.
Sasha?
Who?
Anybody?
No.
Who is Sasha?
You know, it's Jocelyne. Oh,
that's
Rashida? Oh. You talking about Rashida? Who are you talking about?
Yeah. Uh-uh. He doesn't.
We'll talk
he
about
really
it
doesn't
while.
Know Rashida. Yeah.
Right.
But up next, we're going to the phones. Our question of the week, have you ever texted someone the wrong message, didn't hang up the phone, and that person heard something you didn't want them to hear? Mm. Oh, Lord.
This here's another one for the steppers. DJ Wayne Williams.
All right, our question of the week, have you ever texted someone the wrong message or you didn't hang up the phone and that person heard something you didn't want them to hear? Call us and tell us about it. We want to hear your story. 877-29-STEVE. Let's go to line three and talk to D out of Tennessee.
Good morning, Steve.
What's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much. Hey, good morning, nephew.
Morning, boss man. What's happening?
Oh, nothing much. Hey, I had a moment, man. I had one of them like you, except I didn't have mine in the car. I had mine on my head. I was talking to one of my girls, and we were arguing and stuff, and I threw my phone down, and I thought I hit my button on the thing, and she thought I cussed her out and everything, and I didn't.
Okay, but you say you had it on your head. You're talking about like an earpiece or something?
Yeah, my earpiece.
Okay.
Yeah, my Bluetooth.
Yeah, see, he don't know how to tell a story. You done ran up into one of them.
Had it on my head. Storytellers. We
no,
just
no, he didn't. No. I had it on my head. The same thing that happened to you, Tommy, except it happened on my head. So I threw it on the bed. I thought I'd turn it off. And she thought I cussed her out, but I didn't. So then when I did, I said no.
I said no.
It was on my head.
That's so stupid. Is that what you meant, D?
Said it, hold up, though. Hold it on Bluetooth. Boy, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. So then, let me tell you what happened. Hold on. So let me tell you what happened. Uh-huh. Then that had winded, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So next summer, I had another Bluetooth.
So next summer. And,
but this end was a dark Bluetooth. That was different. And I was talking, and it was on my mouth this time because it wasn't on my head. And I looked at that next thing I know, I said, hello? And she said, if you the one cussed me out last summer, I said, ha ha. Boy, this black tooth, something else.
It's black tooth. Black tooth. I want the nephew.
Huh?
I said, them Bluetooths will get you in trouble, won't they, nephew?
Yeah, they will, man. They
yeah,
will.
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
See, ignorant-ass people find commonality with each other.
They do.
Notice how he keep referencing Tommy.
He don't say nothing to nobody else.
Nah, he don't talk to nobody else.
I got you, player. I understand what you went through, man. Keep your head up. You still got your girl?
No, we broke up that Sunday.
They go again. Come on, Steve.
See, we broke up. No, you got your girl. Why we broke up Sunday.
No, we ain't together no more after that one. Not after that Bluetooth incident. We done.
Yeah. I understand. You don't use a Bluetooth now, do you?
Yeah.
You use a Bluetooth now? Did you go back to using a Bluetooth, or you stayed off of it?
No, I use it every now and then, but I try to stay off of it.
Hey, yeah. No.
Especially when
people don't learn nothing.
Yeah, so, I'm speaking about it. Say again, that. Man.
I usually take my Bluetooth off when I'm talking to a woman.
Yeah, there you go, bro. Yeah, you learn how to get down. You good, man. You good. We appreciate you calling, bro. Let me let you out the phone, man, for my own good talking crazy to you, dog.
No,
hey. And Uncle Steve, you're going to have to lay off nephew, man, because you be on him hard.
Yeah. Thank you, bro.
You don't tell me what to do. You. Hey, let me tell you something. Get on your Bluetooth. I ain't got to lay off nobody. I lay on him. I'm off of it. You get on it, Bluetooth.
Hey, nephew, tell old Mill, I said, what's up, man? I love
you. I'm ready, baby. Hey, in the building, baby. Straight up out of, want to say hello to you, baby. Straight up out of Dallas, Tennessee, baby. South Oak Cliff, baby. I know you from Tennessee, but I'm ready. What's up?
What up?
Mm-hmm. All right, is that it, D?
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Uncle Steve, I've been listening to you for 12 years strong, man. I love you. You're the best thing that ever happened to me because every time I listen to you of the morning, I get cold chills when you first come on, and I have a blessed day every day.
Aww. Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Donnie.
Say nothing. Say
when I come on in the morning, look here. When I come on in the morning, I'm on like a Bluetooth. and I'm connected to your head. That's why you're having a blessed day, because I'm connected to your head. Don't take me off, throw it on the bed, start cussing now.
Thank you, D.
Hey, Donnie, see you next summer.
It's D. He called him Donnie.
Oh, man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It's that time. Get ready, get ready. Our girl is here. Carla with Reality Update.
All right, nephew, thank you. Here we go. Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Woo!
What?
That's all you can talk say, right? It's just too much. Okay. Kirk and Rashida, you know they're married. And you know, last time we talked about this, Kirk, you know, he has a secret baby. He cheated on his wife, allegedly has a secret baby. Well, Mr. Kirk admitted to cheating on his wife, Rashida.
God,
why he admitted?
Oh, because he got a baby.
Well, probably calls it the baby, dog.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah. He had to admit to it because Carly Red, her friend, Rashida's friend, she told her about the baby. She told her about the girl. There was evidence of text messages. There were videos, allegedly, of him holding the baby. So Carly told Rashida. So Rashida asked her husband, Kirk, what happened? So he admitted to cheating on his wife. He had to come clean to Rashida about having sex with Jasmine and that he could be the father of her child. Mm-hmm. When Rashida asked her husband to further explain, he said although he was sexually involved with Jasmine, they were never in a relationship. It was a very emotional scene.
That makes it better.
That makes it better.
But it's not official that he's the dad, though, yet, right?
Not officially, not just
then
yet.
He
but
should
take
still
a listen.
Be lying then.
Take a listen.
Not if they got a video of him holding the baby.
Yeah. It was a lot, y'all. So this was a very emotional scene with Rashida. You can imagine this woman, this wife, talking to her husband about it. Take a listen.
So you need to tell me something to make me not want to strangle the shit out of you.
I don't want to say it's a lie, but I did lie. Yeah, I do know the girl.
So what's up with you and the girl?
On some just real shit. Is it a situation where I might have up, in a sense? Yes. Did I fuck around? Yes. I wasn't in no relationship. They ain't been around none of our family. They ain't been around our kids. All that is all lie.
She live in the building. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Did you put her in the building?
No, I didn't.
Now, you done sat here and told this big-ass lie and then topped it off with an old weak-ass, lame-ass confession. You can't even keep it 1,000 with a And on top of all that, I'm so damn mad at you right now that I hadn't even focused on the fact that this is claiming she got a baby by you. Why would you do that? You wasn't thinking about me. You wasn't thinking about Carter.
Rashida,
you wasn't thinking about Kyle.
I love you. I love my family.
No, you don't. You couldn't do the dumb did. No, you couldn't.
You throwing in my face.
Because I might not be perfect for I'm the type of want to go a at the strip club. That's what I get. That's what I get from my friend.
What you gonna do?
I was drunk.
You know what?
I made
be
a
drunk. Get your mother and get the out.
This ain't no prank call here. That's the
house. They were talking too much and not fighting enough. She's
blows.
Trying to throw something at him.
That was a
at
confession.
Kirk and,
the confession was weak.
Yeah, what? He sounded like he was laughing.
You can't start a confession with that
you got to lie, man. You're supposed to lie on that one. I'm sorry.
Lie how? He's busted. He can't
they
keep lying about
it. They got a video of him holding the baby.
I done held some babies before, huh? Them wasn't my babies.
They said the baby was just like them. So, Steve.
Have you held a baby of a woman who said, this is your baby?
Come on.
I would never do that. I wouldn't. No.
Well, then you wouldn't have to lie.
Once she say it's my baby, I'm not.
Okay, let me ask you a question. The girl that's got the baby is a stripper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What?
You fine.
You think so?
You ain't have a rapper?
His wife is beautiful, too. She's beautiful.
I mean rapper, like cover-up, raincoat. Mm-hmm. You didn't wear a raincoat.
Right. Safe-sex behavior.
The stripper.
What?
Yeah. I'm trying to understand where we at with this.
Okay. Thank you. Let's make some sense of this.
We just need to go ahead and let Kirk fall off on. We just need to let Kirk go.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I hate his response to it. I'm so sick of him.
What response did you want, Shirley?
It was weak.
He was just weak at what he was saying. Moving on. We sick of Kirk. Rashida kicked him out the house on the show. And Stevie J says that he is unsure if he is the father of Jocelyn's child. Oh, so he's taking a DNA test to get to the bottom of the truth.
Does anybody on this show know who the children belong
to? Jocelyn knows.
These kids going to all grow up not knowing a damn.
Not knowing who it's their
sad.
Parents are.
I mean, you're being funny, but it's really sad.
No, really. Which one of these you want to be your daddy?
Jocelyn stole a pair of Stevie's underwear to try to get a DNA sample for the paternity test.
What?
He took his dog?
But she put him in a plastic bag, right, Carla?
Right.
And then...
Yeah. She went to a DNA collector. She went to the DNA collector. Listen to what the DNA collector told her about trying to do this, steal his underwear and to get a DNA paternity test. Take a listen.
This is the issue. First of all, it was in a Ziploc bag. It actually suffocates those DNAs.
Are you kidding me? I've watched all of these shows where everything comes. They put everything in a Ziploc.
I'm telling you, I've had a lot of clients have the same exact issue and it doesn't come back positive. It comes back no percentage, no nothing.
They need to change that up on TV then.
But are you going to use this for personal knowledge or for court?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
We need them in court.
Okay. Yeah. If you need it in court, this, the way you brought it to me, the lab might see it as something tampered with. If it's not something that I am personally collecting. So.
Are you freaking kidding me? Tamper? Why would I tamper with the dog?
And how could she?
His DNA is going to be on here.
And I believe you, but if you want to use this for court, you have to make sure that he voluntarily supplies his DNA by coming to me.
Good job, Jocelyn.
Wow. So, ladies.
She said, good job, Jocelyn.
Yeah.
Okay, can I
watch CSI now?
Yeah, you're watching way too much CSI episodes.
Why would you have to do that to prove that the father your child is him if you ain't slept with nobody but him?
She wants him to know that, you know, just Jocelyn's slick way of saying, yeah, I got the paternity test and you are the father. She wants to throw that back
day. I got the draw deeper day.
She's not questioning it. He is. Stevie J.
He is. Yeah. So she wants to go, bam, you know, proof. In your face.
Taking his drawers is a little
extreme. Oh, it's so crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
We got to keep our eye on our
I thank God I ain't ever had to do that. Hell, man. Lord have mercy.
All right. we got to go. That was something. All right, we got to go. When we come back, our girl, TV personality Egypt Sherrod, will be here. She's going to tell us about Flipping Virgins. That's her TV show on HGTV. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, up next, she's waiting in the wings. Egypt Sherrod, Flipping Virgins. We'll talk to her next.
I want to learn how to flip these virgins. How are they doing that?
Everybody get flipped eventually, Tommy.
Yes. Well, what are they flipping
you?
Them at?
She's talking about houses. Okay, just
first
so
time
know.
House flippers.
Yeah, just
that's
so you'll know.
Let me take this.
Hey,
you flip a home and it's your first time. Yeah, flipping virgins. First time house flippers.
Well, say that then. Hey,
the name
all
of the show
up.
Is Flipping Virgins. It's hard to tell who's wrong or
right. All right, Mary.
Come on, Mary.
Giving it to the people. Okay, so let's switch gears. Last break, we did enough. talking about love and hip-hop in Atlanta. Boy, it was off the chain. So now let's switch gears. Our girl, TV personality and property expert, we love her, Egypt Sherrod. She is on the line to tell us about, yes, her show. We love her show. Yes, Flipping Virgins. Hey, Egypt, what's going on, girl?
Can you feel me giving you all a hug through the phone?
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. We're hugging you right back through the radio.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. God is good. I'm telling you.
Girl, yes, all the time. Egypt, tell everybody about Flipping Virgins, because a lot of people, they don't know what the show is about. It's about the first-time house flippers, and tell them what you do.
Yes, we're not flipping anybody's babies, so get your minds off the gutter.
Oh, no.
Yes.
We're flipping houses, and the show premieres Saturday, April 1st, 11 a.m. It's a long time coming, but essentially it's a graduation from my old show that ran for 16 seasons, Property Virgins. This time, instead of working with first-time home buyers, I'm working with first-time investors, showing them the ins and outs of flipping houses so they don't lose their shirts. Because you know what? There's a lot of flipping shows on TV, but they don't show you the good, the bad, and the ugly of the flipping world. And that means that, you know, there's an opportunity to lose money just as much as there is to gain money if you don't make the right decisions. And so that's what I'm doing, walking them through it, and you get to see the emotional roller coaster.
Egypt, you know we love you on this show. We're so happy for you. We're so proud of you, first of all. I mean, just, yeah, because we all watch HGTV. We all have homes. We all, you know, we just love it. We love it, and we love you. You've been named America's most beloved real estate agent.
Shirley,
congratulations.
Thank you. You know what? You guys know me from 20 years in radio, right?
So yeah, yes.
For this graduation of my career, I can only say it's an honor. You know, I don't take that lightly. I am grateful. I stay grateful. What do they say? It's your talent that'll get you there, but it's your character that will keep you. So I'm just letting God guide my steps and use me in whatever way he will. And so I appreciate that honor.
That's so outstanding.
I mean, really. You very much deserve at least so, though. I mean, really, because you're just good at what you do. You sell houses. Mm-hmm. You tell people how to keep them, how to flip them, how to do all this stuff. You deserve it. So we're happy to know you, and we're proud of you. Seriously.
I received that. I do, Shirley. You know, girl, you've always shown me love. You and Carla,
yes.
Just from day one. So we need more of that in the world, don't you think? Just sisters loving each other.
Girl, you better say yes.
Yeah.
The sisterhood is alive and well, for sure. It is, for sure. So listen.
I have a question. Let me ask Egypt a question, Shirley, because you know what? I'm so interested in doing this. Flipping houses, and what can you say, Egypt? You know, maybe you can drop a trick of the trade, a jewel to everyone. If you're interested in doing this and buying properties, investment properties, and flipping a house, what do you think, or what have you seen is the most common mistake?
The most common mistake is people watch television shows and then say, I can do it too, and run out.
Oh, because that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, run out and buy the ugliest house they can find, and then they get middle of the project and say, wow, flipping is not easy. So the best thing that you can do is learn the formula, what real investors use as a gauge to determine if a house is definitely of the right property to flip. And I use something called the ARV formula, where I'm looking at what the acquisition is, how much I'm putting in, how much I'm going to have to spend to renovate, and then what is the after-reno value, or the ARV? And it's got to be at least a third, a third, and a third to make sense.
Okay. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen, from America's most beloved real estate agent, Egypt Sherrod. Watch her show. It's called Flipping Virgins. It premieres Saturday, April 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And we're so happy for you, Egypt, and we'll be watching as always, girl.
Oh, I love you guys. You have a wonderful day. Make it a great day, folks.
All right, Egypt.
Thank you, Egypt.
Girl. You're we'll listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all, we back. Let's get to these back-to-back jams. Come on, Cat. Girl. Coming up, we got time for just one more thing, y'all, when we come back. Man.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up next, we got time for just one more thing, and then we out of here, y'all. We're going to tell you what can keep a couple to stay together.
Yeah, you're going to love this, Steve.
Yeah, don't do nothing. Carla reported in the update.
Yes.
Cheat on your wife, have a secret baby. None of that works.
Steal your husband's DNA from his underwear. We'll be back.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
All right, here we go. It says the couple that laughs together stays together. All right? If you want to know if you and your significant other, if you'll go the distance, here's how you find out. This is according to a dating expert. It all comes down to one thing, a shared sense of humor. His name is James Priest, also known as the dating guru. He says a shared sense of humor is the number one sign a relationship will last. When this is in alignment, he says, you'll be able to see the funny side of most situations and generally be more relaxed about what life may throw at you. Any arguments can be diffused and you'll appreciate each other much, much more. Now, comedians all over the place. Everywhere we turn, Carla, there's a comedian. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Girl!
He can't even breathe.
You'd have ran up the charge card. Girl, you crazy. You bought what? You spent how much? You got to be, you lied. We ain't got no more damn money. Oh, come on now.
Come on now.
You slept with Willie. Girl, Willie, he's so ugly. I can't believe you slept with ugly ass Willie. Oh, Lord, this is so good right here, girl. You leaving me. You going to take the house and the kids and all the cars? Girl, you crazy. You cleaned out the bank account. Go, this is good. Ooh, 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 this is good. I love you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll
couple
work.
That laughs together stays together.
Oh, yeah, that'll help you out. Don't start laughing.
Yeah.
Junior?
What?
Is this true?
No.
Is this true?
It ain't true. I don't think so, because I didn't laugh with some women who left me the next day. I didn't been to this situation.
I'd have been put out. She was standing at the door laughing.
Yeah.
Laughing at you, not with you, huh? Uh-huh. All right, nephew, what do you think?
No, I got no comment. She listening.
Huh?
I don't want to...
Matter of fact.
Somebody listening right now. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, your wife listening to the show.
The point of the story is that you have a shared sense of humor.
Come on, big wide back lover. Come on.
Out, man.
Ha! I guess we gonna stay together. Ha! Wide back lover.
Ah! WBL.
WBL. Wide back lover.
Come on, boy.
Guys, keep it moving.
Boy, we laugh all so funny though. Oh, God.
What? He says a shared sense of humor is the number one sign a relationship will last.
Share it. I'm having a baby with another girl. Ah!
Boy.
That ain't gonna. That's
nothing funny about that.
At all.
Then you try to.
So you guys.
You saw love and hip hop. You saw what happened to Kirk. Same thing happened to me.
So you guys don't believe this. You guys are definitely.
Girl, I got four paternity suits.
Opposed to this.
Shut up. It's so funny. All of them can't be true. Come on now.
Where you get this survey from, Sherry?
This is according to the dating expert James Priest. He's known as the dating guru.
Well, I mean, I think it's some truth to it.
Yeah, he says any arguments can be diffused.
Couples have to laugh together. Yeah, you can. You could diffuse any argument. I've done it many times with Marjorie. I done had some stuff.
I didn't been hit with a lamp. I don't see nothing funny about that.
Well,
lamp. I done had a pot thrown at me.
You got hit with a piece of chicken, though. That's the one I
love.
I got slapped with a chicken breast. Let me tell you
raw.
Something. And let me tell you something. That thing stank. Don't you think it's
stronger than you
gonna be surprised?
Man. Now that's something I would never do. I would
that's
never
what,
do that.
Raw meat. That thing.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.